we aim to create homes for our clients that are practical spaces that enable them to live well in the environments that we create, that are comfortable and life enhancing, and not show homes. They need to be workhorses for the people that use them.
Welcome to House Guest with me, Carol Annett, where I chat to people who shape the world around us through decoration and design.
This week's podcast celebrates a fantastic interior design duo. We also talk about Caring Spaces Carol concert on the 18th of December. Check out the website at tpcaringspaces.co.uk. Today I'm sitting with Bunny Turner and Emma Pocock. Turner Pocock, who have been an interior design company for 16 years. And unusually, you are great mates.
We are.
And very, very well respected. And it's lovely to sit down properly with both of you, because I don't often get the chance to see both of you together. So Emma, kick us off. Tell us a little bit about Turner Pocock and how you have created a successful business.
Well, I think our friendship has a lot to do with that. We actually started as friends, but not as great friends, and very quickly realised we had a very similar work attitude. And we really wanted to do the absolute best we could for our clients. And that meant really, really listening to them well and really thinking about how they live in their houses. And we felt so strongly about that and came from the same angle as each other. And I think that just has developed and brought us closer and closer. And we're extremely lucky. I think there are very few partnerships in all businesses that have developed like ours. And it makes going to work every day a complete joy, really.
So when you met, were you working for other people, or how did it start?
So I was working in a commercial art gallery in the West End, having done a postgrad at the Courtauld. And it was at that point Emma and I were friends, but Emma came to me for advice on art in projects she was working on. And so that was the sort of seed of a conversation about a future relationship in business together. And after a few years, I became a bit disillusioned with the art industry. It sort of didn't feel like a meritocracy. And so I decided to leave that and go, after a conversation with Emma, and get some experience working in the sort of design industry as best I could. At that stage, I couldn't afford to go back and retrain because I'd already done a postgrad. So I decided I'd have to learn on the job. And I was very lucky to get a role with a developer who worked on sort of prime residential in Chelsea and Belgravia. And that sort of taught me the tools of the trade on site in quite a hands-on way. And about 2 years into that, we were approached by a friend who was moving back from Hong Kong, who wanted us, had heard that we were interested in starting our own business and wondered if we would think about doing his flat, which was in one of those wonderful Battersea old school conversions. Oh, yeah. So it was an amazing space. And that was the start of Turner Pocock. And we sort of began our life at Emma's kitchen table in her flat with nothing but computers, laptops as our friends. And we grafted from there and moved to a room in my flat that we rented. And then the team started to grow and we employed people. And that started feeling a bit strange, having them our home. And my husband's depleted wine reserves from us tucking into them rather too early in the day became an issue. So we then rented our first studio, and the rest, as they say, is history.
It's rather amazing to think back at those days where we only had to make enough each month, really, for us to be able to live. So we sort of answered to no one, but loved. We had such a personal relationship with our clients. It was just us two and them, and we really always wanted to do the absolute best we could for them because, you know, this was our opportunity.
And we didn't have kids then. So the sort of, it was a very easy process to commit your whole life to starting and energy into starting this thing and doing
and
the best.
And pull an all-nighter.
Yeah. Yeah, the all-nighters and the sort of, I remember one incident where we lost some work at sort of 2 a.m. and had to go and find an all-night printer and get them printed out. But the design world has changed so exponentially since that stage 16 years ago, you know, and that in those days, God, I sound old saying this, but we designed with catalogues, hard catalogues. Suppliers didn't really have their stock or collection online, so you had to use tear sheets that were kind of given to you by the showrooms, and we used to fax orders over, which is just so weird to think of now, isn't it? Paid everything by check.
Literally, when I started off with Henrietta Spencer Churchill, having come from KLC, and we only had email, I think. We didn't even have the internet. So you really didn't, you know, companies didn't really have websites then. That is it. I don't know how we did anything. It's absolutely extraordinary to think back at it.
But that's just back office stuff. And then actually how you interface with clients was so different at that stage, because they didn't have the sort of visual saturation that people have now.
Yeah.
You know, we would go and meet clients and get their brief from a sort of verbal exchange, not a sort of iPhone sort of in your face saying, this is what I'd like to do. So, and we'd get tear sheets from magazines, which I used to love. There was a sort of very sort of tangible sort of collecting process that the client went through to collate these visuals that meant something to them. And it was the handing over of that material felt sort of sacred. I don't know, it was sort of like entrusting us with something.
And they'd often, you know, been collecting for 10 years. So you'd have sort of 10-year-old, you know, house and garden or whatever given to you. But it's a bit sad now. And in America, they really, really guard the interiors industry. It's much harder as a normal person to go into a shop and buy a Schumacher fabric, for example.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
They're much, much more guarded to the industry. And it is really sad that your clients generally, you have to be really quite clever now to find things that clients, who particularly ones who are interested in interior design, haven't seen before. You know, that's our challenge, really, which is kind of irrelevant, because actually I would say that our skill as interior designers should be the collation of a room, you know, how you're putting pieces with other pieces. But some clients who are very into interiors are really wanting you to show them and wanting in their house things that they have never seen before and their friends have never seen before. And, you know, with the world of social media as it is and the internet, that's getting harder and harder.
Yeah.
Which actually, in some ways, that's quite nice because it brings antiques back into the fold. And it makes it all the more important to have old with new, because, again, then it's like a curation of a collection rather than a whole load of new stuff that everyone knows exactly where it's from.
And give us an idea of some of the projects that you're working on at the moment. Because, Emma, you're based in Switzerland.
Yeah.
So are you working a lot on the projects over there?
We normally have a couple of projects over there. We normally have on our books sort of a couple in the country, a few in London, and then a couple, like a chalet and one near me. I live just outside Geneva. The projects in Europe aren't necessarily right around the corner from me. And there is the interior design industry out there is so different. We don't really have a competitor out there. We should have hundreds of projects. I think it's quite difficult to get our name out as well. But we normally have one around Geneva, which we've got one at the moment. We've just finished one in a town called Coppet, which is very close to me, which is very in a very modern Swiss designed building, and then we've tried to really soften it as much as we can with a lot and make it feel quite sort of Belgian, lots of natural materials inside. We did all the interior architecture in that project, and then we almost always have a project in the Alps going on. They seem to be one at a time just by mistake, but at the moment we've got one in Crans-Montana. We finished one in Val d'Isère last year, which actually won the best new chalet in the world.
Fantastic.
Which was excellent. But chalets are brilliant. We're both big skiers and we ski a lot together. So it's fun to do the chalets.
And tell me the story about your girls, because you'd both have girls and something quite extraordinary happened, Bunny.
Well, so about 5 years into the business, I can remember us working on a Saturday for a big project, a new build project in Kent. Again, pre-children and able to work at weekends, which is something we can't do quite so easy now. And I remember telling Emma that I was pregnant, and her response was not at all what I was expecting. She swore rather a lot and walked around the table, and I said, what? And she went, well, I might be too. And sure enough, we were pregnant in tandem, which really confused the team at the time, because it's one thing to think that one of your bosses might be pregnant, but for both of us to be growing at a pace was quite funny. And when we told them, they said, oh my God, that's so strange. I couldn't decide which of you it was.
Yeah, they'd sort of guessed that one of us was pregnant, but they'd obviously not guessed that we were both pregnant.
So we went through this rather extraordinary period with sort of week between our due dates. And inevitably, when it came to the actual moment, we ended up in labour at the same time in the same hospital, giving birth an hour apart. So our daughters...
I mean, that is just extraordinary, isn't it?
And yeah. It is the greatest gift, actually, if I think about it, to our relationship, because I know that I would have been quite unforgiving if Emma had gone first, because until you actually experience the journey of motherhood, you don't realise quite how all-encompassing it is. And we had to obviously carry on the business in those early days of learning the ropes, but it was nice that we could be sympathetic to each other, I think, and really empathise with what each other was going through, trying to learn to breastfeed in front of the team, or leaving our children with total strangers whilst we got on the train to go to a presentation up in Manchester, or all sorts of absolutely insane things. And the girls' relationship is just the most amazing thing to watch grow, because it's sort of like family. It's like that cousin relationship, but even better, because they're not blood.
Mm. And they see our relationship, and they know we see each other, you know, all the time. And it's so sweet. They live in different countries, obviously, because mine lives in Switzerland and Bunny's is in England. But they see each other sort of 3 or 4 times a year, often on holiday. We holiday together as well, often. Yeah, it's really sweet. So they're the future of Turner Pocock.
And tell me a little bit about your charitable initiatives, because that's become quite important to you.
So I think Turner Pocock Caring Spaces was born out of a really deep-seated belief from us that we wanted to have a sort of charitable outreach. Ems and I, even before we started the company, had organised various charity events to raise money for charities that were close to our hearts. And once we had come up for air a few years ago, we felt it was the time to give back, actually. And sustainability is a difficult conversation in our industry, in the sense that we're a consumer-led business. And you can be as conscientious as you like, but actually it's challenging when you're procuring stuff constantly.
Particularly when your clients have their eye on the pound.
So I think our resolve was to do something that had a sort of corporate and social responsibility outlook. And we came up with the idea when we were approached to do a staff room in Guy's and Thomas's hospital, pre-lockdown, actually, as it happens. And that was the seed of the idea for creating a charity that essentially offers and enables their communities to thrive by giving them a well-designed space. And that's tied very closely back to, I think, a Turner Pocock approach to design, which is that we aim to create homes for our clients that are practical spaces that enable them to live well in the environments that we create, that are comfortable and life enhancing, and not show homes. They need to be workhorses for the people that use them.
Deeply practical.
Yeah.
Well, actually, by being deeply practical, they then end up looking gorgeous, because they don't have a buggy in the middle of the sitting room, because there's a cupboard for the buggy. And, you know, it goes hand in hand.
So did you talk to the nurses who were going to be using the space?
Well, we went and saw the room, and we were just so shocked. And this happens in every circumstance, in every project we've since done with them. So we deliver sort of design packages to the charitable sector, and they can benefit carers, patients, a broad spectrum of people.
Family members.
So when you say, what do you mean by a design package? So you will
redesign a room and install it.
And
so we completely redecorate a room, or 2 or 3, in 4 other charities.
But it's not the same. You're not giving them the same look.
No. Okay. So we take the brief from them, and we then understand how they need to use the space, what they need to do in it. And then we'll essentially deliver the Turner Pocock design process to them and install a room.
And are you asking suppliers to give their products?
So we have partners for TPCS, people that have pledged their support. So when we're on the design table, we know who we can go to for items. But it's a difficult space to design in, because often, you know, our supporters, people like Porta Romana's lamps, aren't going to go well in a MenCap facility, you know, so we have to use support in whatever way we can, and by doing things like
Christmas raffles
but
we have support from Edward Bulmer and Farrah and Ball, who both have given paint, which is obviously fabulously useful And then, yeah, when we have more expensive, sort of very beautiful design pieces, we have to work out how to
capitalise on the value of them, really.
Yeah. Okay, so sometimes you might auction them off, and then use the money from that to buy something at a lesser value.
Because an IKEA sofa in some situations is the better route, you know, with multiple covers that can be changed.
Yeah.
So I think the staff room at Guy's and Thomas's was a really interesting learning curve. We walked in and it was essentially a storage facility for the hospital with chairs piled up on each other, nowhere for anyone to sit or make a cup of tea. And it was such a straightforward exercise to just organise it a bit, shift stuff out, give it a lick of paint, put some joyful palm leaf holiday vibe fabric on the blinds and give them a comfy corner sofa and a bright red Smeg fridge, which obviously cheers everyone's soul. So I think that taught us a lot. And we then moved away from that. And what we love about the sort of initiative is that it gives us dexterity to operate across lots of different charitable sectors, because it's not committed to delivering design packages to one sort of focus outreach. So we are driven, Emma at the moment and I at the moment, by things that are particularly close to our heart. So this year we've done a women's and children's refuge and provided a playroom and a sitting area for adults. We have just done a homeless shelter in Barons Court that also delivers art projects, which for Emma and I has always been a sort of source of a kind of outlet for, you know, I think creatives like to work through things, doing art and producing things creatively.
And it's so amazing going there and talking to the art teacher who's there every day, who originally was homeless himself and also originally an artist. And he now puts on these workshops every day. And he says often when people first come in, the art is very dark and moody. And as they start turning their lives around, you can see it through the art, which is amazing. But it was really, really was so satisfying, that project. It's an amazing initiative run by this guy called Michael, who's actually, we're going to come on to the carol service, but he's going to talk at the carol service. But one of the things that we did is one of the artists there. So the artists then can start, they start selling cards or selling their work through the charity. And one of the artists designed a rug, which Amy Kent had made for this sitting room that we've done there, which was just such an amazing sort of circle. It was really brilliant. We did a photo shoot there the other day with him and with Amy and with us and Izzy, our fabulous girl who runs TPCS. And it was just so brilliantly satisfying.
And now what's really great, and this is where we're trying to get to with projects, they can sort of release the value of those spaces by renting them out and getting income from them. So they're going to use these rooms that we've created, not just for the users of the homeless facilities, but also for councillors to come in and pay them a fee for using the rooms. So it starts becoming a sort of self-perpetuating income stream for them, which is a great outcome.
Is it your charity then? Did you set it up?
We've actually set up an official charity.
TP Caring Spaces.
That is not a mean feat.
But
there's a lot of paperwork and red tape.
Our next project is the Masborough Centre, which is around the corner from our office, and it's a big community centre. And there we're trying to do these two really big rooms, much bigger than we've ever done before, but it really will enable them to create an income from the spaces, which is incredibly satisfying.
So you have a dedicated member of staff?
Yeah.
The charity employs her, yes.
Yeah, okay.
We had to. It was sort of taking over our life and hers. She used to work for Turner Pocock. But funnily enough, she actually did her dissertation on interior design in the charity sector.
It was extraordinary. How environment impacts on outcome.
Okay.
Was the narrative, which I believe passionately in, you know, that... And I think actually off the back of lockdown, though that wasn't the driver for the charity in the first instance, everyone relates to that conversation, the idea, because we were all so forced into that environment that we were in for those lockdowns.
We had the most amazing thing happen where we got, I think, 5 emails from ex-clients telling us and thanking us for how perfect their house was during lockdown.
Oh,
and that you know, made our lockdown.
Yeah.
You know, if people are living in their house and stuck in their house and loving it,
And using all of it.
And using all of it. That is what we strive to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you've got a carol concert coming up.
The big thing with any charity is fundraising. And it is quite a sort of monster of a thing to continually do. So we've tried to come up with creative ways to raise money since the charity was conceived. Various things like running very long distances, which I did once, and I'm not sure I can do that again. So we had to think of other creative things.
Yeah, done that, not doing that again.
Yeah, and we had done a carol service in the past, and everyone loves a good Christmas sing-along. And
ourselves included.
Absolutely. You
know, we have to ban the Christmas music from starting too early in the office.
And from the get-go, I think we've seen this as an industry-uniting initiative, and we've been so overwhelmed by the support of everyone, from suppliers to...
Chelsea Harbour, we've been hugely involved with various things at Chelsea Harbour.
And so we thought it's a very good way to get everybody together before Christmas, to get the sort of stars in lights like Nina Campbell reading for us.
Nikki Haslam.
Oh,
and for us just to enjoy a moment where we all share together in this... idea that what we do has real meaning, actually, because I think there's often a view that interior design is this sort of frivolous thing without meaning, but actually it really does impact your environment, impacts on so much, and I think we should really celebrate the fact that we can make a difference actually in people's lives, whether it's through a sort of charitable initiative or even for our clients. I think we have to recognize that we do that for them.
So it's on the 18th of December. And it's in St. Luke's in
really
Chelsea.
Close to
really
Christmas.
Close, but it's on the Monday. Most people are still working that week. And we feel that it's a great way to kick off Christmas week. We're encouraging people, and we're doing this with our friends, and all of our staff are doing it with their friends, to come buy tickets with all of your friends and then go out for supper afterwards and just kick off Christmas week in a really fun way. And so it's at St. Luke's in Chelsea on Sydney Street. And I think it's a really great church. That's where we did the one. We did one there 12 years ago. And it's going to be packed to the rafters, full of lots of interior design sort of celebrities. And we decided to go down that route instead of trying to get actual celebrities. Last time we had Hugh Grant, who didn't turn up until one minute before he was supposed to be talking.
Ems and I were standing
us
at the back.
Heart
attack. Oh God, we're going to have to do that.
Can so I hope, explain why Hugh's
or
not
more
here.
do the talk, which was such a horrifying thought.
So I hope that Nikki and Nina etc. are going to behave a little bit better.
Nikki never behaves, does
he? I know.
But that's why we love him.
But I think it's going to be really fun. We've got great quotes from loads of interior designers and people within the industry going into the brochure. And I think it's going to be a really fun thing.
Oh, fantastic. And the girls coming.
The
presumably.
Girls are coming. Yeah. We all love a bit of a sing-along.
Yeah. And how do we get tickets?
Through the Turner Pocock Caring Spaces website, there is a page on there that directs you through to the ticket sales.
There's also through our Instagram and the Turner Pocock Caring Spaces Instagram, there are millions of link throughs, lots of posts about it that you can press, click this link. It's easy.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful event, and I've written it in my diary.
Excellent. We will give you a ticket in a minute.
Oh, bless you.
If you bring 20 other people.
Bunny and Emma, thank you very much indeed. It's been really nice.
Thank you. Thank you for coming all this way.
Thank you for joining me today. You can hear more House Guest on British Airways In-Flight Entertainment in the audio section, along with our sister podcast, Breakout Culture, with Lord Ed Vasey and Charlotte Metcalf. You can follow me on Instagram at Carol W. Annett.